Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. In this evening's programme, I'll be speaking with Michael Fleming, the IFA's Forestry Committee Chairman. But first, I've been catching up with John Comer, the President of the ICMSA. John, let's first of all just start about the situation facing dairy farmers at the moment. It's been a difficult year in terms of prices. But of late, I mean, we've the added problem of bad weather, and that's even adding to extra costs.
It certainly is, yeah. The weather has conspired on top of everything else, on top of markets and saturated markets. We've got saturated ground. And unfortunately, a lot of our members have had to put the cows back in. It has put a lot of extra cost on them. But as well as that, it has increased the workload dramatically at farm level, because when you have cows in and the line on cubicles, they're never as clean. You've got to get them up and you've got to wash them. You've got, you know, prepare them for milking is a lot more difficult. And you have to draw in feed and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it puts a lot more stress physically on farmers. And then, of course, as you know yourself, Chris, the markets aren't great. So that's putting a lot of stress financially on farmers.
Now, I know the ICMSA have come up with figures that suggesting that something in the region of €1 billion being taken out of the rural economy as a result directly of what's happened to the drop in incomes for dairy farmers.
Yeah, and that's very conservative, because if you take the multiplier effect of that, you know, where it's spent in the local shop, because that's the one thing about farm income. It's always spent locally. It's spent in the local shop, the local pub and the post office, you know, in all the range of services that's in the local communities, and it keeps going around in the same community. And that has been proven. So the multiplier effect of the drop in milk price is phenomenal for rural communities. And you know, I'm not so sure that our elected representatives understand the significance of the situation where we have arrived at in the course of milk production in Ireland, because we have now arrived at a position where it's agreed, I think, by anybody that's reasonable, that almost all of Irish dairy farmers are producing milk at below the cost of production, and that's not sustainable, even in the short term, Chris.
You mentioned there the government indirectly, ongoing talks, of course, and it's not suiting anybody, I suppose, at the moment, because things are not being pursued in the manner that they normally would be with the government in place. And perhaps there's a danger that the sector's getting ignored and sidelined a bit because of all the emphasis on just trying to get a new government together.
Indeed it is, yeah, and I would like to see more importance placed in the negotiations as to what is going to be agreed in the programme for government, in terms of putting structures and policies in place that will help mitigate against this ruinous volatility that has come in a more pronounced fashion into global markets, be it beef or sheep or poultry or pork or dairy, over the course of the last 5 to 6 years, but more particularly in the last 2 years. And we need to see a debate going on in that in terms of programs, the programme for government. And, you know, what I'd be saying to all elected representatives is they have been given a mandate, such as it is. They've got to decipher what that means and put a government in place, because, you know, the interregnum period now has been dragging on for 46, 47 days at this point. And it's not in the best interests of Ireland Inc. And incorporating Ireland Inc. into the farming communities as well. It's just a very, very negative position for us to find ourselves in at this particular time. And unfortunately, we have no government, and we also have a crisis in the industry. And I think it's time they got their act together and formed a government and had a lot more emphasis on food production and sustainability of economic incomes for the farmers as well as the environment.
I'm speaking with John Comer, the president of the ICMSA. John, there's a lot of talk going on at the moment about this EU-Mercosur trade deal that's been negotiated, and the potential implications are nothing short of absolutely massive. We could have a scenario that there will be a large amount of agricultural products coming in from South American countries at relatively cheap prices, and it could really threaten things here.
Oh yeah, there's potential here for extremely negative effects on Irish beef producers. They're not doing great at the minute, as everybody knows. You know, the margins are very, very tight. But there is a proposition out there that there will be in the region of 78,000 tonnes of beef coming from the Mercosur countries of Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina and Brazil into the European Union at a very, very low tariff rate. And that will be in exchange for goods and services, mechanical parts and electronics and so on and so forth, going from the European Union out to their trading bloc. Now, as an example of not having a government, perhaps through no fault of our acting Minister for Agriculture as of yesterday, there was a firm council meeting that a lot of this was going to be addressed. Minister Coveney couldn't attend, and we had a civil servant representing us there and a very capable guy, but the reality is that I don't know how well Ireland's interests was represented in terms of, it just because it's in Europe's interest, and I know we're all good Europeans, doesn't necessarily follow through that it's in Ireland's interest. Because, you see, Ireland as a member state of the European Union is very different because we have to export up to 90% of our beef. Now, that isn't the case in a lot of other countries. So we'll be the greatest member state that will be directly affected by the Mercosur deal if it goes ahead. And we will not be able to compete if there isn't an equivalence of standard stitched into the deal if it ever goes ahead, and I don't think it should go ahead, because we have a whole load of regulation in this country. A lot of it noble, some of it justified, you know yourself, cross-compliance, traceability, so on and so forth. But all of those regulations come at a cost. And that cost is put on Irish producers. And if the same costs aren't put on Mercosur, the bloc countries, the ones that I mentioned in South America, then we won't be able to compete. And there is no evidence to me that they have the same traceability, the same animal welfare standards, or the same anything really, in terms of you know, pollution and effluent and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's no surprise that they can produce beef cheaper.
And when it hits the shelves, yes, quality and traceability is of huge concern to people, but price sensitivity is also out there, and if the housewife can see a steak from Uruguay coming in at 20-30% cheaper, the housewife's going to be, or a house husband, is going to be tempted.
I'm glad you have come politically correct, Chris, because it's important. Of course, I know there will be a percentage of people that will be very, very much in favour of Irish beef. But if you're faced with hard choices as a consumer and you're constrained by the size of your purse, then obviously your heart might want to do the right thing, but pragmatism tells you to do something else. And that's why I'm saying clearly, it won't be the fault of the consumers at all, but it'll be the fault of our political representation if they can't get a fair deal for Irish farmers in relation to beef, dairy, pigs and poultry or tillage. Because they're all coming under extreme pressure with the bigger, cheaper, faster methodology or policies that are creeping in across the world that we need. We need factory-type farms, we need massive productions to get these efficiencies that I don't believe in at all, because I believe, you know, there is a good size farm, like a family farm structure, is what the consumers say they want. But by the time they find that they're under extreme pressure in terms of financial solvency, it'll be too late for to bring them back. And I think that we have to start at local level. First of all, the farmer has to start at himself or herself. Try and make themselves as efficient as possible. Adopt the best technologies and cut their costs as best they can. After that, they can do no more. It's up to everybody else then in the food chain to try and represent some sort of equity in terms of margins going back to the farmer. Because I've often said, Chris, the most vulnerable in the food chain is the farmer at the start of it and the consumer at the end. They're both open for exploitation.
Mm. Now, I think it's back in 2010 that the EU started originally with the talks about these rounds of negotiations with the Mercosur trading bloc. At the end of the day, not everybody gets what they want, and that's what negotiations are all about. But in terms of the time frame, how close do you think we are to concluding some sort of deal between the EU and these South American countries?
Well, these types of negotiations take funny veers in the road. So, you know, what I'd be saying is it looks like that they're coming very close to the end game here. Now, you said that it's going on and they're very protected to date. But the reality is the negotiation powers of the Mercosur countries hadn't been as cohesive as they would have liked, because Argentina had fallen out of the bloc and they couldn't go ahead with the deal. So it wasn't on the EU side. So Argentina are back in the fold now, again, is my understanding. And they're vigorously pursuing a deal with the European Union. So I think it's coming near the end game, and I would be extremely worried if that amount of beef can come into European markets without equivalence of standards and without any tariffs. It will be very, very difficult for European farmers, and particularly in that context, Irish farmers, to compete, Chris.
And finally, John, just on a brighter note, the Farmer of the Year competition, which is being supported by a number of organisations, including the ICMSA, the deadline has been put back to Sunday, I think, €20,000 in the prize fund there. And it's something well worth trying to get involved if you think you're in with a shout.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I attend it every year and make presentations in different categories and so on. And I would encourage every farmer or anybody else to nominate a farmer in any category that they feel is doing a good job and see how they get on. And there's a good evening in Dublin with a good prize fund that could be put to good use, I'm sure, by the recipient. Even if you get into the category and you don't win, you'll have a nice evening out anyway.
And that was John Comer, the president of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association. On now to some forestry-related matters, and there's been a dramatic drop in the latest afforestation figures. I've been speaking with the IFA Farm Forestry Chairman, Michael Fleming. You have voiced some concern about the falling afforestation figures following the publication of the latest Forest Service report.
Yes, the first 2 months of this year have shown a decrease year on year of 30% of just under 30% of a fall, and if you read down through their program, it looks consistent because the farm ones and farm twos, which they are currently processing, are showing a fall of around just under 20%. So that would mean going forward is consistent with what has happened in the first 2 months of this year as well. So to us, that's a huge dip in the very early period of this year. Mm.
And the 8% cut to the forest premium, it would appear that that's certainly one of the factors.
Well, the 8% cut came back in 2009. That was a result of budgetary measures which happened. What has also been happening in recent years is they have remapped some of the older sites recouped money from some of the sites because of land issues or mapping issues, as they see it. What I mean by this is what they... when a farmer applied up to 2006, he had to submit a 6-inch ordinary survey map. After that period of time, it was done electronically through an IFOR, what we call an IFOR. They then introduced an IFOR system, an electronic system of mapping. But what they have done in the last couple of years is they have re-examined some of the very older sites, and they are now trying to recoup money off of these, and it certainly has damaged the confidence of farmers' views towards forestry.
It's important for Ireland to meet its climate change targets that there is a considerable planting program out there. You would still feel that forestry is a good option for many farmers, and it can be an alternative income stream.
Certainly, I would advocate or certainly I would encourage farmers in certain areas or certain land types to enter forestry. If you have, a mature, thick spruce site, it would yield somewhere in the region of about 10,000 per acre of a final crop. And you could also add in the premiums for the 15 years in on that, and you're also eligible for your basic payment through that period of time. So yes, there is it is certainly worth consideration. In recent Tagus research, they have put it that forestry can deliver equally and better than some beef producers in the country.
And that was the IFA Farm Forestry Chairman, Michael Fleming. On to the livestock prices. Sheep prices, hoggets up to €5.85 a kilo to 24 kilos. Spring lamb making €6.50 a kilo to 20 kilos. Ewes, €3 to €3.30 a kilo. Cattle prices, steers, €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Heifers, €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. O-grade bulls making €3.70 and U-grade €3.90 a kilo. Cows, O-grade, €3.25 a kilo, and R-grade, €3.45 a kilo. That's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. From me, Chris Ashmore, until next week, goodbye.